You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. It is a Tuesday, September 23rd. Thank you for downloading. September 23rd, 2025. Thank you for downloading. I've got a special guest today. Greg Brainos is his name, and he is the inventor of the Coach Speak Index. And wait till you hear what this madman has constructed. All because he got pissed off at Bengals coach Zach Taylor for lying through his ass about an injury on the Bengals a couple years ago. Meanwhile, we got the Monday Easter egg hunt post week number three. A lot of interesting things have shook free from the NFL ether. And of course, Jimmy Kimmel is back in the news because he's returning to ABC on Tuesday, minus 38 Sinclair stations. We'll see where this battle goes next. I'm going to tell you why I really don't give a shit about any of it when it comes to Kimmel. But let's start with some college basketball news in the middle of football season. What? Bruce Pearl, Auburn, Final Four coach, is out. Plans to retire and then hand over the program to his son, Steven. More on that in just a second. This is not quite like the situation with Tony Bennett at Virginia. Bennett at Virginia knew he wasn't going to get the big dollar players that were headed to the NBA. Winning and recruiting is going to get harder and harder for him. The academic standards at Virginia, I'm sorry to say, you Auburn alums, a little bit higher. So he just decided it's time to get out. Just like Jay Wright got out at Villanova. Bruce Pearl, it's different. Now, there is word he wants to get more into politics. So far, there have been reports that say he has no interest in actually running for office. Doesn't mean he can't get into politics in some way, shape, or form. Now, that said, here is the conclusion, the quick rundown at the end of PTI with Tony Kornheiser, who shares a same religion as Bruce Pearl, with his longtime journalistic friend and now TV partner and now fellow multi-millionaire thanks to ESPN and their show PTI, Mike Wilbon talking about this sudden departure.
Happy trails to coaching for Bruce Pearl. The Auburn coach is stepping down to become an ambassador for the athletic department. In his place, the school gave a 5-year deal to his son, Stephen. Pearl is 65. He has had terrific teams at Milwaukee, Tennessee, and Auburn, which made the Final Four last season and in 2019. His decision comes about a year after Tony Bennett did the same thing at UVA. Pearl said he will not run for the U.S. Senate, something that had been rumored.
Tony, he become a divisive person, it seems to me, intentionally. And I hope there was pressure to just get him out.
Really? Yeah, I really liked him. He was such a great guest. On the other side on him.
Divisive, of course. That's code for I disagree with his politics. Remember, when somebody on the right expresses their sincere opinions about politics, world news, etc., they're labeled as divisive, at best, if not worse. Wilbon just couldn't come out and say, well, I hate his politics, so fuck him. He had to couch it that way. And Kornheiser is as left as they come. And I don't think he hides it. But he's also Jewish. And so is Bruce Pearl. And so that whole exchange of, oh, really? And then he just kind of sits there and stares. Wow. I mean, come on.
He become a divisive person, it seems to me, intentionally. And I hope there was pressure to just get him out.
Really? Yeah, I really liked him. He was such a great guy.
Not only is Wilbon too scared to say what he really thinks, there was no pressure to get him out. Trust me, down in Alabama, they were quite fine. They aligned with his politics, and he won. So, no, there was no pressure to get him out because he was, quote, divisive. Now, Dave Portnoy, who is also Jewish, said, what an idiotic comment from Wilbon. Kornheiser shouldn't have rolled over. Apparently, Wilbon only likes athletes and coaches who speak on social issues if they align with his views. Otherwise, you are divisive. What a narrow-minded, small view. Bruce Pearl. I mean, nothing surprises me. Now, Bruce Pearl is doing one of the dirtiest tricks in the book when it comes to college basketball. He's handing over the program to his son as if it were a corner hardware store. Here's the family business, son. Don't fuck it up. Dad's going to go sit on the beach and retire. Why is this able to be, you know, why do schools let this happen? Because the coach becomes so powerful. If you win enough, if you deliver enough goods, if you lift the program up to a level, every university will say, well, so you want your kid, huh? You sure he can do the job? And the guy who brought you to the greatest status you've been, and I'd say Bruce Pearl has brought Auburn basketball to the highest it's been since Barkley was there, he's going to get one shot at doing that. They're going to go, okay, well, we'll see. But they get one shot to not install a crayon-eating son of theirs. Of course, it's not like he's got this great coaching resume. Look at this from Stephen Pearl. Played 4 years at Tennessee under his dad, averaged 1.2 points per game. Then became a medical sales rep for the Stryker Corporation. Then was hired by his father as an assistant strength and conditioning coach. Then director of basketball ops under his dad, then assistant coach under his dad, then associate head coach under his dad, and now he gets to take over the program. Of course, old tweets are coming to light. Back in 2011, Stephen Pearl tweeted, oh, and not to mention the flight attendant is being a huge cunt. Ha ha ha, I'm sorry, but I'm about to punch this hoe right in the baby maker. Come on. Listen, I'm not laughing. It's not funny. Don't do that to anyone, ho or not. No punching. Not in the baby maker, not in the jejunum, nowhere. Of course, that was from 15 years ago, so 'twas a much more Wild West situation back then. Of course, Bruce Pearl echoed something Stephen A. Smith went off on as recently as June of 2024. Stephen A. on ESPN speaking for more than 5 minutes about the role that nepotism played in the Lakers' selection of Bronny James. Bruce Pearl then replied, "Preach, Stephen A." Yes, Pearl was against nepotism firmly until it came to his kid. Slimy, sleazy, dirty. Welcome to Deadwood. Welcome to the mud. The votes of confidence are flying. Today, UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin, M-N-O-O-K-I-N. I don't know what nationality that is. I think it might be Scotch-Romanian or Comanche. If you know, you know. Hat tip Fletch. She gave a vote of confidence to her AD, Chris McIntosh. So it's a vote of confidence on top of the vote of confidence, which means everybody should be really, really worried. Is it 3D chess or just two horny kids? We'll see. Landry Kiffin, the daughter of Lane Kiffin, quite the Southern belle, beautiful smile, hypnotizing eyes, perfect pearl white skin, blonde hair. She is dating LSU's linebacker Whit Weeks, and they did a, quote, hard launch on Instagram with Ms. Kiffin sitting on the lap of the linebacker, Mr. Weeks, in his dorm room. LSU and Ole Miss are playing each other this coming Saturday in an absolute knockout slobber knocker of an SEC tilt. What's going on here? 3D chess or just two horny kids? No, the games are great. I swear, that has nothing to do with my retirement. Gary Danielson is retiring after this season, calling games for CBS, calling what used to be the best conference, or what used to be the best package of games in America. That'd be the SEC, where it just means more. They lost out to ESPN and their big pile of money, or they just dropped the bag, dropped the ball on keeping the rights to the SEC. Instead, they got a piece of the Big Ten. So Danielson went on the Stuart Mandel podcast and insisted, no, the games are great, but one of the featured games with Gary Danielson this coming weekend, Penn State at UCLA. Woof. I'm sure the sunsets will be glorious, the weather will be nice for biking, and the game will suck, but you'll get paid for it, Gary, and then you got a few more to go before you can finally retire. On to the NFL. The Giants lose on Sunday night to the Chiefs 22-9. A week ago, it was let Russ cook as he launched arcing long ball after arcing long ball against the horrible Cowboys secondary. This week, it was the opposite. He was terrible. In fact, this might be, according to one Twitter account, Ghetto Gronk, the worst four-play sequence of all time. Intentional grounding into the locker room, quarterback draw for 4 yards, sky ball through the back of the end zone, and then hit the crossbar on fourth and goal. Take a listen to how it sounded, and especially the perfect Mike Tirico succinct drive-ending two-word note.
Score on this side of the two-minute warning. Get the ball back. Wilson just gets rid of it with nothing open. Throws it up the tunnel.
That was intentional grounding.
Third and goal. Just putting it up for grabs. Fourth and goal. Wilson.
Here comes
Chiefs ball.
Chiefs ball. Sorry, I stepped on it. I stepped on it. Let me try it again.
Chiefs ball.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Giants get down in the red zone.
Cue montage of sullen, dejected Giants fans. Now, should announcers have to do post-game press conferences? That sounds absurd, but I'm going to say it might be worth kicking the tires on. Here's why. During this game, and I noticed this, and thank God I'm not the only one, but Reegs, blogging for Barstool, noticed the following as well. Take a listen on this INT by Russell Wilson into the end zone, which was a lob ball. Hold on, is that the right highlight? Here it is. Here is the INT by Wilson into the end zone that was nowhere close to being catchable by his stud wide receiver.
And the Giants. Pressure coming again. Wilson scanning, flying from the zone. It's intercepted.
All right, doesn't have the part where he says you can't blame Russ. As Reegs writes, why the fuck can't I blame Russ? That's one of the worst passes I've seen since he handed the Cowboys a win a week ago. Just launching that ball in the air like a roll of toilet paper and can't even make it to the back of the end zone is all on Russ. What do you mean you can't blame that one on Russell Wilson? He's the one who threw it. He's the one who can't get the ball to neighbors. He's the one who has no idea about clock and game management here. Yeah, Russ fucked us, writes Reegs. I don't know why we have to pretend like guys aren't at fault here. Too many announcers praise quarterbacks when we all have eyes and they see they are blowing a game and ruining everything around them. Unfortunately, Tirico did not get a chance to say, really? Why can't you blame him? It's one thing to take a shot to the back of the end zone with a chance to still kick a field goal to cut into the lead before halftime, which they forfeited because Russ just threw the ball straight up in the air. It's another thing to just give the other team the ball. And that's what he did. So maybe if we made announcers do post-game pressers, then we could maybe go, okay, you said this. Did you really mean it? And if so, why? Other Easter eggs from week three. The Aaron Glenn celebration as the Jets blocked a field goal, ran it back for a touchdown to take the lead, and seemingly, maybe, well, there was still a minute and change left. They hadn't quite won the game, but it was a hell of a play. Jenna Lane of ESPN has synced the celebration to Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it times up. Actually, hold on. She first timed it up to Earth, Wind, and Fire September. And it timed up perfectly so that when Aaron Glenn, former DB, running down the sidelines in excitement, when he finally gets to the end of the sideline where he was running, he then breaks out into a slow, exaggerated, celebratory walk with exaggerated arm movements, and she put it to September, and it timed up perfectly with the post, as they say. So somebody then said, okay, do it again, but use Let's Groove Tonight instead. It's a great little dance by Aaron Glenn. I got no problem with it. However, someone does. Da Pope, Mike Francesa. Think of doing New York sports radio right now when the Jets are 0-3 and the Giants are 0-3. Somebody tweeted, it's the worst September in New York ever. Somebody said, yeah, I can think of one that was even worse, but do we really want to rehash that? Here was Francesa's take on Aaron Glenn doing his celebratory dance.
I don't need Aaron Glenn. I'm going to tell Aaron Glenn something right here, okay? And I haven't been hard on Aaron Glenn. I've said nothing negative about him this year. And I'm willing to give him time. But I don't need a cheerleader on the sideline. I don't need one of these coaches who runs up and down with his team like he's still playing. You're not playing anymore. Use your brain. You're there to coach. You're not playing. So I don't need you jumping around and running up and down the sideline when your team finally makes a play. That is a coach who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. That's not a coach. I want the guy who's there thinking about the next play.
Yeah, except the fact that Sean McVay does that all the time. And guess what? Sean McVay coached in a Super Bowl and won it. So yeah, one has very little to do with the other. The celebration happens, and then the coach is right there back on the headset talking to coaches. What did the Jets in was Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, being a baller, said, you know what? We got plenty of time. I'm going to make some plays. And also, Emeka Abuka made a hell of a catch, one of many great catches. That guy is absolutely killing it right now. More Easter eggs. Todd Bowles on the other sideline is a statue all the time. But he's low-key hilarious, apparently, when he wants to be. Here he was being asked about walking into the locker room with one of his fellow Buccaneers.
What did Payne Durham say to you when he wrapped his arm around you in the tunnel?
Me and Payne have a relationship not many people know about, and we're secret lovers.
Tom, what did you say during the locker room?
That is good. That is good. Who knew that he had that in him? Did the controller get unplugged? A lot of people scrubbing back and forth on what might have been a 97-yard touchdown catch from Matthew Golden, the rookie out of Texas, as Jordan Love hit him seemingly behind the defense, but with a throw that was sort of angling towards the boundary on 3rd and 7, Packers up 10-0 from his own end zone.
Love from the end zone down the sideline. Wide open, it's Golden! He is...
So, on that play, it's like you're watching it going, okay, he catches it 1, 2, 3, at least 4 yards inside the boundary. He gets at least 3.5, if not 4 steps down, and he's got nothing but open grass in front of him, and yet he doesn't turn it upfield. How? Why? It literally is one of those, did the controller get unplugged? Now, this is, of course, a classic thing with us on the couch, sitting there eating our Doritos. We say, well, I should have just taken it up the field. We have no idea how these incredible athletes, these athletes that just blow our minds every Sunday, you know, what's going through their mind? Do they just want to make the catch, get the feet in? Are they thinking about leaning? Are they off balance? How fast are they running? I'm sure Golden is pissed himself that that's the case. Speaking of, did the controller get unplugged? Don't look at the Marvin Harrison drop in the game against the Cardinals. Harrison's been a big disappointment. Some are saying he's not being targeted enough. I'm seeing more and more clips of him either not making the kind of effort that his dad would make, or having hands that look like, I don't know, they've been sprayed with the slipperiest substance on earth. But don't look at the Marvin Harrison non-catch. Wide open, middle of the field, ball is underthrown slightly from Kyler Murray, and he slows up and then kind of jumps for no reason in the air for a ball that hits him right in the hands at chest level. He jumps and just fumbles it. It's like the wider open some of these guys get, the more nervous and the worse they are at actually catching the football. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the man who invented the Coach Speak Index and what he has learned about how NFL coaches actually talk and what they mean when they're trying to conceal the truth. You are listening to the Zabecast.
Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more,
visit hims.com/Zabe. That's hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to hims.com/Zabe. That's hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. What does a football coach really mean when he says a player is trending the right direction, say for Sunday, or that he's not quite back to who he wants to be, or any other murky, quasi-gibberish non-answer? Wouldn't you, or more specifically, your fantasy team, really want to know what the hell the coach knows but isn't exactly saying? Well, I have got a guy for you. Say hello to Greg Brainos, an award-winning comedy screenwriter and stand-up and podcaster, and most importantly, the creator of the Coach Speak Index. Greg, thank you for hitting connect on the StreamYard link today. What have you done here? You maniac. What have you done?
I'm illuminating the world. That's what I'm doing. I started
one presser at a time.
That's right. Starting with coaches, and then next year we're rolling out Beat Writer Index as well.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. So let's get down into the weeds right away. You started this database of stuff that coaches are saying. Because why? What was your motivation?
The straw that broke the camel's back was Zach Taylor in 2020 calling Joe Mixon day-to-day for literally weeks and then put him on season-ending IR. About a month into that, I had Joe Mixon in my like big home league, the big money league. And, you know, he kept saying day-to-day. So I was like, all right, cool. He'll be back any moment. We don't need to make any big waiver wire moves because he'll be back. And that was not the case. Obviously, Zach Taylor, big old liar when it comes to injury coach speak. And what's really, really funny is that he's very self-aware of that. Like he makes a lot of references, or he has made a lot of references within the last 2 years. Now, whenever people ask him about injury timelines, he's like, well, you know, I'm not good with injury timelines. And we all know that now, thanks to the Coach Speak Index.
Okay, so are you from Cincinnati, from Ohio? Are you a big Bengal fan, or was this purely a fantasy football annoyance to you?
It was purely fantasy football. I have no ties or allegiances to any NFL teams or
you don't. Players. Where are you from? Who are your teams?
Well, I was born in France. I was raised in North Carolina. We moved to North Carolina when I was like 5 years old.
Okay.
The Panthers didn't come around there until, I don't know, like late 90s or something. I was in my early teens, I believe. And I just think not having any real emotional ties to any team just helps you be a better fantasy football player. So, I mean, there are teams that I kind of gravitate to and players I like. I love watching Lamar Jackson. Who doesn't? I love watching Justin Herbert. Who doesn't? Bijan Robinson. All these guys are super exciting. I mean, you hear all the time from people who are like, oh, I can't help but bet on my team, or like, I can never bet on my team. That's where I don't want any barriers when it comes to, you know, clouding my judgment on things.
Yeah. Coach Speak Index is the Twitter account. You got to follow. It's being talked about. It's blowing up right now. Lots of other outlets are picking up on this. Coach Speak Index. Greg Branos is joining us here. So you have not just sort of off the cuff said, well, when a coach says this, I think he means that. You've actually applied database numerics, or I'm not sure, analytics. How about that? You've put this into a database. Explain. Yeah.
Well, I spent 2 years after this Zach Taylor disaster. I spent 2 years building a database because I realized, well, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I can go back, look at everything that all of these NFL head coaches have said, put it in a database, and then, you know, grade each thing as true or misleading. And going into it, I initially just kind of assumed that a coach would either be, you know, truthful or untruthful across the board. But I found very quickly, well, it's important to divvy this up into different categories, because there are some coaches who are like, for instance, Zach Taylor, very misleading or very unreliable, I should say, on injury coach speak. But he's actually very reliable when it comes to player usage and workload coach speak. So very, very important to kind of divvy that up, put it into separate categories, and also to weight each piece of coach speak differently. These are all just actionable coach speak that's in the database. So it's anything that a coach would say that would lead the public to believe it has a greater than 50% chance of happening. So things like, oh yeah, maybe he could play. We don't put that into the database as far as like grading. Like, we'll have it, we'll put it into the Discord, and, you know, we can go back and look at language matches later. You know, you mentioned like if a coach says trending in the right direction, well, I have like a database of them, like for particular phrases that they say, which is,
oh, you know, and then match to outcomes. So like, yes, whenever Coach X has said trending in the right direction, we've got 30 examples going back 10 years, and 80% of the time he's full of shit because that player doesn't play on Sunday.
Right. Yeah. Because these head coaches are not poets, you know, most of them are ex-football players who have taken a lot of beatings to the head. And so they just like everyone else, they have a certain vocabulary set and they use these kinds of phrases over and over. So yeah, there's a lot of nuance. It's not just like, did they lie? Did they tell the truth? It's right. Okay. Well, let's also, because there's a lot of coach speak, like actionable coach speak, that's just like easy layups, right? Like, oh yeah, this guy's day to day. Well, he suffered like the most minor injury, right? He like not even an ankle tweak or something, like stubbed his toe on the field. Right. So I we're not giving them like a full, okay, this is weighted exactly like, you know, them going out on a limb and saying the knee got tweaked, but, you know, he'll be back within a week or something like that. So whenever they mislead us on something, they get graded on to what extent, right? Were they, did they call a guy day to day and he missed 2 weeks, or did they call a guy day to day and he missed, you know, the last 12 weeks of the season? Obviously that we're going to grade that one a little bit harsher than the former example.
Yeah. It's funny because this is exactly what I have done my whole career in sports radio, especially covering teams up close, like in Washington with the Redskins for all these years. And then the Commanders, my partner and I, Andy Poland, and I would do afternoon drive, and we would then parse through every coach's statement and all the guys that we had, and they all had different ways of sort of couching things, but it was a sophistry. It was an art that we had acquired over 20 years of doing radio and listening to all these coaches. We didn't have data, Greg, behind us. We were just like, yeah. When Marty Schottenheimer says this, we know basically he's saying that. But it took a while to get that with each coach. Mm-hmm. Every now and then a coach comes along that jams the radar, like Spurrier.
Steve Spurrier was the most blatantly, gobsmackingly honest coach that we had ever encountered. And so when we would ask him questions like, what happened with Rob Johnson when he came in to replace your starting quarterback? He's like, well, to be honest with you, Rob didn't really know the playbook too good. And we're like, what? You're saying this in front of everybody?
Yeah.
So I want to use that as an entree to ask, who's the easiest coaches? Who are some of the easier coaches to decipher? And who have been the harder ones to decipher?
So Dan Campbell, definitely one, maybe like the most straight shooting coach. You know, you just offered this example of Steve Spurrier. So there's this example from Dan Campbell from a couple seasons ago. They had Denzel Mims on the roster. This was during, I believe, the off season. And they asked Dan Campbell, hey, like, you know, Denzel Mims, what's the outlook for him this year? And Dan Campbell said, he's in the room. That's about all I can say.
He's in the room.
Yeah. Like, he's here. He exists in this building right now. Right. And they cut him like the next day.
Yeah.
So
Campbell is pretty transparent. Who is currently pretty opaque?
Well, as far as like trying to figure out a coach, that's usually just like the new class of coaches, because we don't have a ton of data on them. So, you know, it can usually take about a year or so to get all of this coach speak from these guys. We get injury coach speak more than any other category. So usually those we can start to tell about halfway through the season, once we get a good amount of data there. But those are the ones who can be, you know, really tough to figure out, because you just have no history on them. You know, with Sean Payton, like, yeah, he has a 50% reliability rating on usage and workload coach speak. And there's a long history there. So he's hard to figure out in terms of, it's literally a coin flip with whatever he says. So you don't know if it'll come true or not. Like, usually the best method is to just not believe what he says on usage and workload.
That is wild. Do you remember Lovie Smith with the Bears during the Rex Grossman era, when Rex would have good week, bad week, good week, horrible week, and they'd keep pressing Lovie about this, and he would say very calmly, Rex Grossman is our quarterback. Rex Grossman is our quarterback. Like, he invoked it like a mantra. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I think I actually do. I think I might have Lovie Smith, just like his
somewhere final, in the database.
I think maybe his like final season.
Might have been with
the Texans, right?
Yeah, exactly. He was the guy that won the Week 17 game that they should not have won, to cost them the number one overall pick. They end up avoiding Bryce Young and get C.J. Stroud instead, which is a weird way of karma working out. But yes, it's so funny, these coaches, the way they sometimes slip up and they don't realize they're giving a tell. Can I ask you about Belichick? Because, you know, the whole we're on to Cincinnati thing has become lore. How was he to decipher regarding players and injuries, et cetera?
Bill Belichick was a straight up terrorist when it came to coach speak. He was pretty boring in press. He just wouldn't give you anything. Like, we had a very low sample size, like a relative to his career. Like, how, you know, like there should be so much more data on this person who's been coaching in the NFL for so long. But he would just not give you anything. And then every once in a while, he would give you something, but not actionable coach speak. He would just like give you this 5 to 10 minute in-depth examination of defenses in the 60s or something like that.
Right.
Like fun as someone who's, you know, watching and listening to dozens and dozens of hours of press conferences every week, where like, oh, finally, like something interesting in a Bill Belichick press conference. But as far as actionable coach speak, like there just wasn't much there. And when he did offer something, it usually did not come to fruition.
Greg Branos is the inventor of the Coach Speak Index. You can follow him on Twitter, but you can also leverage their database if you want to get a leg up in fantasy. And that was what your original intent on this was. Tell people if they want to get the full access to what you guys dig out from your database so they can help win in fantasy.
Yeah, so we have a Discord, and I have separate threads for every single NFL team. And I watch every single head coach, offensive coordinator, and general manager press conference, which, again, is just dozens and dozens and dozens of hours.
32 of them every week. So all 32, you, not yes. You and a team of minions.
No, just you. Just me. Yeah, there's they're mandated to have three head coach press conferences per week and one coordinator. Right. Well, like the offensive coordinator, that like all the coordinators have one presser per week. So yeah, so I'm watching all those just all day, like from when I get up in the morning to when I go to bed at night. It's very long work weeks right now. So while I watch the press conference, I take notes in my phone. I just have the presser on my phone and I'm in the notes app, and I take notes while they're talking, every single important note from those press conferences that will help for fantasy, that will help for NFL betting as well. As soon as the presser is over, I put the notes directly into the Discord, into those, you know, separate team threads. And then I just rinse and repeat through all the rest of the pressers for the rest of the day. It's it's incredible.
I ask a personal question, Greg?
Sure.
Are you married?
I'm not. I don't know how.
You have a girlfriend?
No, I have no.
I don't know. I can imagine the wonder and awe and frustration of a female creature looking at you and your hourly devotion to this, thinking, what on earth exactly?
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, during training camp, it's about 90 hours per week. Now in the NFL season, it's about like 75-ish hours per week.
So it's a little less now that we've pushed off from shore, but I bet August is crazy because you're trying to discern from the coach's language and sort of verbiage who's going to be a bigger part of the team, because you don't know in August. And that's when everyone's fantasy draft is happening.
Right, yeah. And also, you know, that's when more media hits, like appearing on more podcasts during training camp as well. But yeah, it's an insane amount of work. You know, eventually I'll hire one or two people to just help out with things that, you know,
to grind through it.
Right. Well, I feel like it's important that I still watch every single press conference. Like, I want to stay abreast. If there's like, sometimes we'll get changes in coaches, you know, Brandon Staley and Brian Daboll were both pretty honest in their first year when things were going well. And then in their second year, they started losing, and out comes the gamesmanship. And, you know, you have this kind of change in philosophy from a press conference viewpoint. And I just think it's so necessary for me to stay like completely in tune with everything that is going on. So I'll still do that, but they're just like kind of little like business things and editing. You know, I spend like an hour or two editing the podcast on Thursdays when I should be watching these press conferences, so I don't get to bed.
What's the podcast for those that want to add the podcast to their regular rotation? Go ahead, plug that.
Yeah, it's the Coach Speak Index podcast. Search that on YouTube or Spotify or Apple, anywhere. But yeah, if you're really seeking information for fantasy and NFL betting, definitely the Discord is the place that you want to be. Like, nobody has moved the NFL betting markets like we have, because the information that is going out to people, like, usually it's the big stuff about big players, right? Oh, this big quote about this big player or whatever. But all these quotes about guys who are like the wide receiver two, or, you know, like the second tight end on a team, or, you know, quotes about like Tyler Algier, like, those don't really hit the mainstream, but those are just as important when a coach says something about these players. And the lines are usually way off on these kinds of things. So we put those into the Coach Speak Index Discord first before I ever put them out on Twitter or anywhere else. And it's constant. Like, it happened again this week. It happens every week. We put it in there, the information, people bet it, the information gets out. And then all of a sudden we see big movement in the prop numbers for these guys.
There's two guys right now that just fascinate me in the league. One is Mike McDaniel, who looks like a coach who knows he is so fired or a guy whose controller has come unplugged at times. So yeah. I'm wondering, how do you sort through what he's saying right now? And the other guy is Liam Cohen, who got busted in a bit of a injury lie with Brian Thomas Jr. and his wrist. And I'm thinking, okay, because I've heard Liam Cohen a couple times, and I'm like, okay, buddy, you're a little wobbly on your skis. You didn't realize that this job in the NFL was speaking so much to the media. You got to tighten it up.
Yeah, who would have thought that the guy who lied to his former employer about where he was when he was taking an interview with a different team would maybe Liam not Cohen. Be the most truthful guy. Yeah, very funny situation of where, he's, oh, well, Brian Thomas Jr. had a wrist thing. That's what was wrong with him last week. Okay, well, why wasn't he on the injury report then? Then he appears on the injury report this week with it. I wonder if he'll end up getting fined for that or not. Mike McDaniel, who you mentioned, I think his time is about over in Miami. I think he's one of these guys who, you know, he's a good offensive mind. He makes a good offensive coordinator, like run game or pass game coordinator, but he's just not head coach material. He simply is not. He's not a leader of men. The locker room clearly does not respect him. They have a bad culture there with the Dolphins. It's an absolute mess there, and he's not the kind of guy who can turn that around.
Wow. You have gone way deep on this. I feel like you are now so pot committed to this project that it's gotten such a following and it's got so much momentum. You can't turn back at this point. It's got to be bigger, better. At some point, you're going to be, you know, churning these audio clips through AI, and we're going to get actual truth detectors with coaches at some point.
I've already experimented with that.
Of course you have.
Yes, I do. I do. I have a background in poker as well, and I have an ongoing document of poker tells from these coaches. You know, just from reviewing clips of them when they were being honest and clips when they were being dishonest. It's pretty.
I guess it makes sense that a guy who makes his living with words, you're a screenwriter, correct?
Yeah.
And you make your way with words, so every word matters, every meaning is important, and you listen keenly. And Zach Taylor pissed you the fuck off with his day-to-day thing on Joe Mixon for about 8 weeks. And then when they started lying about Joe Burrow, I think a couple years later with his wrist, remember that? Mm-hmm. And then they had to spot him with the cast on, getting off the team plane. They lied some more about that, going, oh, no, that's, he wears that all the time.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
His wrist is actually 110%.
It's right. It's way beyond that. All right. So just tell me what a Discord is and how do I get on a Discord to get this stuff?
I had never had experience with Discord before I launched my my Discord, and it's pretty incredible. It's like an old school message board, that we used to be on in the early 2000s or whatever. Have all these different channels, all these different like topics and stuff. It's super cool. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter page. Or if you just search Coach Speak Index Patreon, the Patreon is what actually gets you into the Discord. I'm not allowed to offer just straight signups into the Discord because we have a betting channel in there. And if you have any betting in a Discord, then they just like do not allow straight signups.
Interesting. For
So you got to go through the middleman. You got to go through the Patreon. But super, super easy to get in there. The information that's in there. I mean, it's not like it's one thing for a person to say, hey, like I have the most valuable tool in all of fantasy football, but it's not just me. It's the giants of the industry. It's Evan Silva from Establish the Run. It's Scott Barrett from Fantasy Point saying this is a game changer. This is a huge edge. And once people are in there, they're like, I can't believe I was not in here before. We're up to over 1500 members now. It's a giant snowball going down.
That's awesome. And even if the information doesn't necessarily help you win games, I would imagine it's a fun community of other football fans and just interesting people. And that's kind of the point of it. Discord.com, their tag is group chat. That's all fun and games. I would say it's sort of like a private version of Reddit, maybe, but with more multimedia. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
It really is just kind of like an old school message board.
But you have to get in. Like, not anyone can walk into a Discord, right? There's a gatekeeper for it.
Right. Yeah. It's paywall. There are a lot of, you know, private Discords. There are some Discords that are, you know, free public to anybody who comes in. But yeah, this one is private just for members. But it's incredible, man. It's
I love it.
And what's even cooler is as the years go on, you know, 3 years from now, we'll be able to look back and see, okay, what is every single thing that has been said about Teteroa McMillan over the past, like since he came into the league, right? And you'll be able to see this. You can just search someone's name in the Discord there, and it'll bring everything up in that channel, in that thread of like what Dave Canales and offensive coordinator Brad Idzik and general manager Dan Morgan have said about McMillan. You can do that for any player, and it's really cool just seeing the progression of what these guys have said about their players.
Yeah, good stuff. Greg, thank you for your precious time. You only had time on a Saturday afternoon for me, and I said, well, fuck it, I'll be around. I'll hook up with him. And I was like, why is this guy talking to me on a Saturday afternoon? It's literally because Monday through Friday, you are neck deep in press conferences. And yes, for that, sir, I say, God bless you. You're doing God's work.
Thank you for the invite, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Let's end on this. ABC has decided that they will bring Jimmy Kimmel back on the air Tuesday after he was taken off the air last week. And of course, it created a huge firestorm and actually resulted in violence in California as a man shot two bullets through the glass window of an ABC affiliate. The man is 64 years old. He used to work with the teachers union in California. And of course, California being big on gun control, let him out on bail. ABC, no doubt, was feeling heat from people on the left and celebrities on the left to reverse this unjust suppression of free speech. Including, I saw a story where singers Sarah McLachlan and Jewel canceled their Disney premieres in protest of Jimmy Kimmel's suspension. Who was asking for Sarah McLachlan and Jewel? She still sings? Okay. But basically, ABC's in a tough spot. Disney owns both ABC and ESPN. They're in a tight spot because they have become, without any real shame whatsoever, a hard left propaganda media company. This is something they've admitted to with all their recent animated films that have had, you know, transgender and gay storylines infused into them, the wokeification of classics like Snow White and others. They don't hide it and they don't care, and it doesn't matter how bad Kathleen Kennedy ruins the Star Wars franchise and everything associated with it, they're going to keep going hard. Hard left the way they always have been. So they realize, oh shit, we might be facing more violence and we're going to get hurt more if we don't reverse course here and put Kimmel on the air. Now, as I said to start the podcast, you've got Sinclair Broadcasting deciding they're not going to show the show to 38 affiliates across the country. I believe there's over 200 that take the show. Is that enough to mortally wound Jimmy Kimmel? I don't know. You'd think his ratings would be enough to mortally wound him, but guess what? And by the way, these are all figures of speech, please. No violence. You would think that the low ratings, I believe he's lost 60% of his audience since Trump was reelected, or elected again, I should say, not reelected, but he's going to come back, and as somebody predicted, and I think it's an accurate prediction, will become one of the top most prized and protected liberal personalities out there on television for ABC. Stephen A. Smith, who also works for the Mouse, on his Straight Shooter show, which it looks like he's got a Capitol Hill bat. Oh, it's Sirius XM is the mic flag. Straight Shooter made a point that I was like, yeah, I agree with it. It wasn't even a joke. It's not that he was taken off the air for making fun of the current administration of the president. It was about just trying to score political points and actually being wrong from all indications so far about the motivations and or political ideology of the alleged shooter, which he claimed, you know, Jimmy Kimmel was a MAGA type, far right. Like, okay, so why then? Oh, because the theory is, for those who want to believe in fantasies, that this young MAGA person killed Charlie Kirk because he wasn't sufficiently far right. But Stephen A. made the point, okay, well, where is the joke?
The only thing that I would say as it pertains to Jimmy Kimmel was, where was the joke? Because you're a late night host. And obviously that has a comedic attachment to it. Where was the joke? Obviously it wasn't anything funny about that.
Now, that has led Keith Olbermann, remember him, to just get completely unhinged on Twitter. He tweeted at Stephen A., just adding to what has been true for years, at Stephen A. Smith, oh, he added him, is a fucking idiot, and now he smells money prostituting himself to and collaborating with the right wing. It gets worse from Keith. Again, completely unhinged, unglued. Burn in hell, Sinclair, alongside Charlie Kirk. Then there was this to Scott Jennings, who's on who is on CNN all the time. You're next, motherfucker, he tweets to Scott Jennings, and then follows up with, but keep mugging to the camera. That was reported to the FBI. Olbermann quickly took down both tweets. Aren't you curious as to what Keith Olbermann's life is like, what his typical day is Monday through Friday, what he does on the weekend, where he goes, who's willing to be with him? Does he have nice dinners out? Does he go for bike rides? Does he have a hobby? Does he go to baseball games, his original love? Is there any happiness and joy in Keith Olbermann's life? I would love to put a GoPro on him and then just say, send me the footage after a week. I want to see how this guy lives. What a sad, sad existence. And of course, now people are just taking to attacking whatever they can following Charlie Kirk's memorial in Arizona, which I thought was incredible and powerful, and a lot of people coming together to mourn and to support. But people are going, oh, look at the fireworks, as his widow came out to, you know, give her speech. What is this, WWE? And then, of course, his widow saying that she forgives the alleged killer, because that's what being a good Christian tells you to do. Here's a spin zone on that. Jack Mack Barstool. I'm almost impressed with this spin. I'd say I'm pretty good at knowing how the libs will spin anything, but I didn't see this one coming. 98 miles per hour on the outside corner. What was the spin? You ready? Somebody tweeted, white supremacy is so crazy because he literally killed your husband and you're forgiving him because he's white. That Twitter account may or may not belong to an actual human. There was a video that went viral this week I saw of a bunch of cell phones hooked up to a computer server in some back room somewhere, lights are blinking, cables all over the place. And as I joked, on one of those phones is a fake Cardinals fan that my boy Armin Sarian has been delivering 240 character beatdowns to on the regular this past week. You don't know who you're arguing with online. And it's all so dumb and pointless and secondary, if not tertiary, if not more, to the basic focus of, okay, what happened here? The basic act of incomprehensible inhumanity assuming that this young brainwashed man did it, is that he traded his whole life in and destroyed the lives of dozens of others who loved him, his family, his friends, his boyfriend, girlfriend, furry friend. He traded that all in to murder someone else, a man he didn't even know, was a man who was never going to be a danger to him or a threat, and a man who will honestly be replaced or, you know, sort of forgotten to a certain extent. Not forgotten, but Charlie Kirk will always be remembered, but there will be more Charlie Kirk. So you traded your life to murder this man who did nothing of harm or violence to anyone and just wanted to talk to kids on college campuses. That's the only thing that we should be laser focused on still, understanding how, understanding why, and stopping it from happening again, if it's possible. I know it's you can't stop it at this point. There's too many young, brainwashed people out there. But everything else, all of the stuff about Kimmel coming back and boycotts and this and that, it's like fireworks in a firework store or factory. When somebody unfortunately lights a fuse and lights off one of them, these are the cook-off fireworks. These are the extra fireworks that go up secondary to the initial cause of the fire. And they're going to keep going off now for a long time, because I am seeing so many conspiracy theory videos and conspiracy theory text threads. And knowing how good and how easy it is to make AI change videos with a single prompt or a few single prompts, I mean, come on. Am I saying everything right now seems on the up and up? No, I think we're devoid of a lot of information. I've resigned myself that I probably won't feel satisfied that we're going to get the whole truth and nothing but the truth in what really happened in this horrible incident. Much like I never felt like we got the whole truth and whole explanation of what happened in the Las Vegas massacre from Mandalay Bay. Much like we haven't, in my opinion and my feelings, haven't gotten nearly enough closure, information, reporting, and sense out of the Butler shooting, which almost took out now President Trump. So I am not expecting much. I'm going to keep my expectations extremely low, and even those probably won't be met. But everything beyond the initial incomprehensible, mind-melting inhumanity of that day, everything else is just political theater. And you can have at it if you want, but I'm out. And that'll do it for us today. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. Thank you as well to my guest, Greg Brainos. Tell a friend, rate and review, tickle the algorithmic overlords in our favor by giving us a nice 5-star rating. How about 4? No, I need 5. You know why? It costs the same to you, 0. And you know, on my good days, I'm a 5. On some other days, I'm a 4. On a few days, I'm a 3 or a 2 maybe. But shit, I listen to other podcasts. Every time I do, I feel better, because as hard on myself as I am, for a little gird like that, you hear that? Ah, a little cracking in my voice. For not being as smooth sometimes in the way I deliver the points and news stories that I want. Levels not always being consistent. As hard as I am, I listen to other people. A lot of people put out very, very raw dog quality podcasts. But if the person that you listen to you like, and they give you something of value, and you come back day after day, and they keep producing stuff day after day, then God bless you. God bless them, and God bless you. But please, give me 5 stars if you don't mind. It helps tickle the algorithmic overlords. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Unbelievable, super cool, outrageous. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.